I was going to go take a vacation this week. I was supposed to be in the Grand Canyon National Park this morning, but I took a express route to my office one day and tripped up a little bit, and this is where it is. Mark Fainall had already said, "Hey, yeah, I'll preach for you while you go and enjoy yourself and slack off and everything. You know, I'll pick up the slack for you." And you know, when I fell, I was like, "Well, Mark, I could do this. I could preach this sermon if you want, and you don't have to." And he's like, "No, I've already been working on it, and I'm ready to share what God has been already doing." And so this morning, I get to the joy of hearing from him and what God has been working in his heart and in his life. And so I want to just remind you that as we live our lives out, that the mouthpiece of God is simply just that. That they just speak for God. And the Bible is enough in itself. And the best that we do as teachers and preachers is to stand up here and show you how Scripture has changed us and has shown us. And whether it's this bald guy or that bald guy, it doesn't really matter who's doing it. What's important is that the Word of God is spoken and that we respond to it. So let me pray for you this morning and pray for myself that our hearts would be ready to hear not just from Mark, because he's great, and we're going to look forward to hearing from him, but to hear from God, because God is even greater than Mark is. And everything, the sum of all Mark could do wouldn't even match to what God is going to speak to us if we're willing to hear from him. And as we take and hear the truth of the word, may we apply it to our lives and to his kingdom for his sake. Let's pray about that together. Lord, we ask that you would be with Mark as he has, we know that you have, as he's prepared these many days and weeks to pour over your word and sweat over it and pray over it. Lord, I ask that you would take all that preparation and bless it with your power and with your might. Lord, I pray for each person that's here with their ears open, that they would tune their hearts to you, that they would push away the distraction, and that you would ring loud and clear in their mind and in their heart to know the truth of your scripture, that we might take these words and apply them not just to our lives, but to the kingdom that you've placed us in, to the community and to the families, to the friendships that we have, that we might use your truth to encourage one another and encourage those who don't know you to walk in your ways. And I pray, Lord, that you would get Mark out of the way and speak through him, and that we might get our own, that you would help us to get out of our way and get us ready to hear from you. We love you, Lord. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Mark, I left this stool for you, but I don't know if you're going to need it. So
I don't know. Maybe it'll keep me from falling down, maybe. Well, whenever he was planning on being gone, and he was, I didn't exactly just hop up and say, let me preach. It was kind of more of a persuading me to do it. So I just want to make that abundantly clear. So we're going to be in Matthew chapter 21 this morning, starting with verse 18. We have a short scripture this morning with a lot of information in it. In the morning, as he was returning to the city, he became hungry. And seeing a fig tree by the wayside, he went to it and found nothing on it, but only leaves. And he said to it, "May no fruit ever come from you again." And the fig tree withered at once. When the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, "How did the fig tree wither at once?" And Jesus answered them, "Truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what has been done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, 'Be taken up and thrown into the sea,' it will happen. And whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith." Let's pray. God, this morning as we look into your word, as we look to hear from you, what you have for each of us this morning, Father, help us to completely focus on you this morning, Father, and help us to, in this message, Father, find the application for each of our lives, the way that we can affect our families, affect our community, and affect this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I just tell you up front, this morning has been long for me. Yeah, I woke up about 3 o'clock and some things going on, and didn't really go back to sleep good after that. But even through this morning, God has been keep on reinforcing to me, if you just trust me, just trust me, and I can honestly say that there's many times in my life when that hasn't happened, when I haven't done that. And even in preparing and everything for this morning, you know, I still let worry and everything get in the way of what was going to happen. So I'm hoping that through all that, God can still use his message this morning to you. First, in verse 18, we start out, it says, in the morning. Most time we think about in the morning as maybe after sunrise. Some people's morning starts early. Some people's morning starts, you know, kids that are out of school now, their morning, they think morning starts about 11 o'clock. Nothing happens before that. So, but this phrase in the morning here actually is talking about very early in the morning. It's the last watch is what it was, what it's referring to, which is probably earlier than a lot of us get up. Jesus was got up, and he was returning back to the city. He was going back because he had a message. He had something for them. That's why he had to. And we know through Jesus' life that he didn't, whenever he had something to do, he didn't procrastinate. He didn't wait on it. He got up, and he would always be the first one there. I'm sure if there was somewhere to go and there was a time set to go, Jesus was there waiting on everybody else, I'm sure. So going through Matthew. We've been going through all. This is actually when we read last week about Jesus cleansing the temple, going in and turning over the tables and getting everybody out, all the money changers. And then this week about him cursing the fig tree. Well, actually, if you look in Mark 11, it talks about Jesus cursed the fig tree on the way to the temple. That's whenever, so chronologically, this story actually happened first before he went to the temple. So whenever, and then in going to the temple, on the when they were going back, then this is when the disciples saw the tree, the fig tree, of it being withered away already. In Matthew, we've been talking about several times about fruit. God is saying there, if you're a believer, then there should be some evidence of it. There should be fruit. There should always be fruit. Let's look in Matthew 7, chapter 7, verse 16. Says you will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. Excuse me. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. So Jesus didn't, whenever he cursed this fig tree, he didn't say every fig tree from now on is there's no more figs. I'm done with figs. There wasn't any on this tree, so I'm not ever going to give any other trees a chance to have figs on it. This is a picture of Israel, of what God is saying at this point, the way the children of Israel are doing. They're saying that they're Christians. They're saying that they're children of God, but their actions aren't showing it. They're not. What they're doing is not showing what they're saying. They're not walking the walk when they're just talking a talk. Something interesting that I found out in studying for this, if you normally we think of plants, trees, of having leaves in the spring, we see the leaves come on and everything, and then after that we see the fruits, we see whatever, pecan trees, we see the leaves and everything, and then later on we see the evidence of pecans. Well, fig trees, the actual fruit shows up first and then the leaves. I never knew that. Even growing up we had some fig trees and I never paid attention. But if you've ever seen a fig tree, it has big leaves. The leaves are huge. But the fruit shows up before the leaves. So whenever Jesus goes and sees this fig tree that has these big green leaves, he would expect to see fruit there. It should be there and should be ready to eat. Whenever we call ourselves Christians, whenever we are doing the work, when we're supposed to be doing the work that he set out for us, when that fruit is not there and all we have is leaves, then we run into a problem that this fig tree has run into. God is, he gives us opportunities, gives us time after time to do these, to do the things that he calls us to do. In this story right here, Matthew uses the Greek word paratrima, which means right now, suddenly. He uses it only two times in his whole gospel, and both times are right here in this story. So whenever the disciples are going back and saying that the fig tree withered all at once, it means at once, immediately. Immediately the fig tree withered away. Another something interesting that I thought was interesting in studying this, as far as I can tell, this is the only destructive miracle that Jesus ever did. Where this is one where something destructive happened. Every other one, it was a miracle that people would think of as good. This is the only destructive miracle that Jesus ever did. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 12 and 13. It says, "When I would gather them, declares the Lord, there are no grapes on the vine, nor figs on the fig tree. Even the leaves are withered, and what I gave them has passed away from them." Now turn to Hosea chapter 9, verse 10. It says, "Like grapes in the wilderness, I found Israel, like the first fruit on the fig tree in its first season. I saw your fathers, but they came to Baal Peor and consecrated themselves to the thing of shame." So there are several times when God is referring to Israel as the fig tree, to not having the fruit on it. But this is not just a warning to Israel back then. This is for us. For us, when we don't have, we're not doing the work that he has put out for us to do. In verse 20 it says, "When the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how did the fig tree wither at once?" So the disciples' focus was on just all of a sudden Jesus doing this, cursing the fig tree and it dying right there. Well, in doing that, Jesus tells them it's not really about this fig tree. It's not about this. You know, you could do this. You could even do more than this. But that's not really what it's not about you. This is about what God has planned. This is about you following what God has planned for you. "Whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith." We I assume you're in the same boat as I am most of the time, or some of the time, that we like to ask for things that that we want, maybe not things that that God that are in God's will, and then wonder why we don't get it, or if we do get it, then we wonder why we ever prayed for it. I want to back up to verse 21 a second. If you have faith and do not doubt, I was trying to think in preparing for this. If there's ever been a time in my life that I had faith where I didn't let doubt creep in somewhere, that there wasn't some time in that, you know, I might have said it starting out that I didn't, Lord, I trust you, but then when things started happening and going through it, I didn't act like that, so I know that wasn't the truth, that I let doubt creep in. But whenever we think about this story, I think up until through this time and me studying for this, I was always focused on what happened to why did Jesus curse the fig tree? I mean, he goes on, I mean, while people are doing things to him while he's hanging on a cross, all he's praying is that God would forgive them. But in this time, the fig tree just doesn't have figs on it. And Jesus curses it to where it dies. Why would that be? Well, I believe that Jesus was doing this as a picture to Israel, to the disciples, the people that were there, for the way that they were acting, the way that they were carrying themselves, and a picture of he knew later on, a picture for us sometimes of the way that we carry ourselves. Him saying, there's no way for you to be a follower of me and not produce fruit. It's impossible for us to do that. So if in our next time you feel God tugging at your heart to do something, to know that he's the one that's put that there that you need to do, that's part of that fruit that he's talking about. And that through the power of Jesus in this, we are able to do those things. We could do that and much more, but it's not about what we can do. It's all about what His purpose and His plan is, and just for us to follow what He has set out for us to do. So, and doing, if we can do that, then there are things that we'll see happen that will marvel us, but they won't ever marvel Him. He knows what the power that He's given us. This morning, if you're like me, you're here, and it's been a struggle. There's been some things go on, and you're just like, what else could happen? There's a truth, and there's a hope that we can stand on, that God has given us, that He will never leave us or forsake us. He's with us no matter what. He doesn't protect us from everything. He lets us go through things, but He never lets us go alone. And if we will believe and trust in that, then we will see some things that will happen, that God will show us that we won't be able to believe probably until we give credit to where credit is due to Him, to know that He is, that there's nothing that happens that He doesn't know about. There's nothing that He can't do. If Jesus wanted to, that fig tree, Jesus could have made another fig tree right there beside it that had figs on it. He didn't. I mean, this whenever we, our minds are so small a lot of times about His power and about the way that He can take care of each situation, that we put ourselves in the way all the time. I know I do. If we can get to where we can get ourselves out of the way and let God work in our lives and in our community, in this church, then we'll be ready to see Him move. I hope this morning that through my mumbled mess, that God had a message for you, and if not, then I hope that maybe through this week, God will show you ways that He has plans for your life, for things that He has for you to do, that you'll realize that in doing that, you will, and not doubting His power, not doubting His grace for you, that those things will come to pass. Brother Matt, you want to come up?
Thank you, Mark. Man, he hit it right on the head. Did you hear it? A lot of times we want to take a passage like this and we want to internalize it for ourselves, that if we have enough faith, we can make our lives better. We can live our best life now, right? And we could We could do some things. Forgetting that the power is in Christ. Not to just free us from suffering or illness or financial trouble or whatever have you, but that we would be empowered to do the work of his kingdom. He's got bigger fish to fry than how well you feel about yourself and how good your bank account is looking and all of those other things. He's moving mountains, and we're worried about other things. Thank you, Mark, for sharing your heart there and reminding us. The response time is this, friends, that each of us take that to our heart. And are we focused on just what's happening in our little circle, in our little heart, in our little world, and how we're struggling? Or are we asking and seeking God for what he wants us to do for his kingdom's sake? Remember, the whole point of us looking at these last few chapters of Matthew is how he's leading up to the end. We already know that he's preparing us for freedom from sin. Would we be ready for that? How we might share that with others and know that he's the one that's doing it all, and how we need to walk in line with him. Can I pray for us as we have a chance to respond to those thoughts that Mark laid down for us? Lord, help us to know your truth. Help us to see how you're working in our hearts and in our lives. Lord, you're taking care of the little details and the little issues that pop up, the personal struggles and relationship woes and difficulties that arise and all those things. But you've also got an eye on the bigger things and how we're all meant to be together, work together, serve together, lift up your name together. Lord, I pray that you would help us to get out of the way and let you work, to see you move mountains and to see us be your hands and feet in whatever capacity. If we can help, if we can be part of that, Lord, help us to seek you and you alone. Lord, I ask that you would show us your ways, that we would walk according to your will, serving your kingdom. Lord, may we know you intimately, and may we follow you deeply. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.